This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Double digits of rain hit San Antonio on Saturday, triggering a historic flood and causing property damage and taking three lives. Bexar County has always had a flash flood problem, but billions have been spent trying to manage their problem. Still, the flooding persists. We want to hear your flood stories. Give us a call at 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org, or go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Now let's go to our guest. Larry Trevino is from the San Antonio Fire Department and the city emergency manager. And we also have County Court Commissioner Kevin Wolf also on the line. Welcome to The Source. Larry, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, Larry, so can you give me an update on, do we have any emergency issues currently in effect right now in San Antonio?
Right now we have our damage assessment teams currently going through the neighborhoods. They've identified upwards of 120 homes that are damaged, about 75 with major damage. And major damage is about 16 inches of water that was inside them. We also have some teams from Texas Baptist Men that are going out to some of those homes and helping muck them out, clean them up, cut some of the sheetrock and pull the insulation, pull up all carpet and flooring, and assist with that needs. We also have a community emergency response team that's gone out several times and performed somewhat of a wellness check. Do you have electricity? Do you have water? Are there any needs that are unmet at this time? Do you need food? Basic information, capturing their phone number as well, just so we can have a constant contact with them and give them some updates as well. One of the things that this has been likened to is the 98 flood. In the 98 flood, it was over a 24-hour period, and there were upwards of 19 inches. This flood in a 24-hour period was right at 12 inches. So comparison, there was a lot more damage in 98. Since then, one of the questions that I've answered is how is the fire department prepared and the first responders? Since the 98 flood, we've acquired a second heavy rescue team, a second hazmat team. Every firefighter in the department has been trained with specialized training on swift water rescue, given technical equipment. Everybody has a personal flotation device and helmets, shoes. I firmly believe, even though it's hard to swallow that we had the three deaths in San Antonio, that it could have quite been higher if we didn't have this newly acquired equipment and training.
Yeah, certainly we've seen fatalities during flooding incidents with less rain in San Antonio's past. So, yeah, this could have been much worse. Where are we on the highways in San Antonio? Is 281 completely back to normal, do you know?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, the northbound lane on 281 opened up yesterday about 4 p.m. The southbound lane, once they cleaned it up, opened about an hour later, about 5. So every major highway in the city of San Antonio is open. There's probably a handful left of major intersections that are still blocked. Some of them is a matter of just getting in there and clearing away some of the debris.
So this rain bomb that we had in San Antonio really wasn't forecast. When did the city emergency management system really become aware that we had a situation?
Well, you know what? We went back out to the rain started about 3 in the morning. That's a great question. We started texting each other. All my staff woke each other up. By 5:30, 6 o'clock, we were at the emergency operations center. We called in our partners. And that's one of the things you said. It wasn't the weather service didn't even give us a chance of showers. So we were in response mode the entire day on the 25th, Saturday. Towards the end of the evening of the 25th, we started thinking recovery and how we were going to fix that and help the citizens of San Antonio and Bexar County. Well, come that next morning, about 5 in the morning, we got word from the weather service that we were going to get another 2 to 5 inches of rain about 1 in the afternoon. 2 to 5 inches of rain on already soaked earth is going to create just like another 9, 10 inches of water. It's going to be another flood. So we switched a little bit back from recovery to another response mode. I pulled in my boat teams. I pulled in some dispatchers and put the word out to all the first responders, get ready, it's coming. However, it kind of fizzled out, and we didn't get that rain event, which is a good thing. And then we switched back into recovery and started sending our teams out to the affected areas to do a damage assessment.
We continue to have ground that is soaked right now. So if the skies open up and we get hit again with water, I guess your guys are on standby?
We always are. I mean, you know, that's the first responders. That's what we do. We're always going to be on standby. You know, we stand by the motto, turn around, don't drown. You know, I think we're kind of like, I hate to say it, the human race, we're almost like cattle. It seems like one way to work, one way home. You know, I have another little motto that's kind of corny, but it's when in doubt, different route. On a beautiful day, take a different route home. I think each and every one of us, there's 250 low water crossings in and around the city and the county. All of us probably transverse one or two going to work. So we know where they are. We know which intersections get the flooding. So taking a different route when it's a nice, beautiful day, even though it might take you longer, so that you can learn a different way home.
All right, Larry, I know you're short on time. I got to let you go. It was good to talk to you again, and thank you for all your help, and you guys stay safe.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Now, Commissioner Wolf, you've been on standby. I'm sorry. Are you there, Commissioner Wolf? 8980-614-8980. Tell us how you dealt with the flood in your neighborhood. Certainly in my neighborhood, a guy just a couple of blocks, houses down from me, his basement got flooded out. When I went walking around on Saturday after the rain stopped, he was pumping water out of his. And another friend of mine down the street, water straight down Campman, went right into his house. So a flood issue that we thought had been settled in the neighborhood, still a lingering problem for the neighborhood as the drainage ditches did not do their jobs and water shooting down Campman Road. Let's go ahead and take a comment here. Julian?
Yeah, I'd like to mention that, you know, I was working in the Alamo Heights area Friday when the rain started, and I couldn't believe the picture on the front page showing it where people are in boats out in the football field. I feel that area of 281, it's going to be expensive, and it's going to be hard to convince everybody to pay the taxes to raise 281 at the Hildebrand area, but it's got to get done. I mean, water can't keep going over that area. This isn't the first time I've seen it. And maybe the way to convince them is tell everybody, look, this is the schedule. We can get it done in this amount of time. I think there was success at 1604 and 281. Woodstock's been taking forever, but if you could convince San Antonio, hey, we can do this in a set amount of time and put the date on it, I think people would be willing to shell out the money just to get it done.
All right, Julian, good comments. Thank you for that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more On the Source on KSTX.
Calls for a mostly cloudy sky tonight with a low around 73. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 88 degrees.
The Cinema Tuesday series is coming to the Bijou beginning May 28th. It's Texas Public Radio's 13th summer of screening classic films on the big screen. 11 weeks of adventure from King Kong to Lawrence of Arabia, Robert Redford, Meryl Streep, Gene Kelly, Killer Birds, and Roaring Metal that goes up to 11. Season passes are available now at tpr.org. The Cinema Tuesday series is made possible by America's Diamond and Stevens Lighting. All proceeds benefit Texas Public Radio.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about the flood and the rain that hit San Antonio over the weekend, the Memorial Day flooding event, a rain bomb, as some people are calling it, a hashtag. Give us a call with your stories at 614-8980. And on the line, let's go ahead and go talk to Stephen Schauer with the San Antonio River Authority. Stephen, you there?
I am, David. How are you?
Okay, welcome to The Source. So, Stephen, the San Antonio River Authority, we had the river reach and the museum reach, and we had a lot of water running through there. What happened with that?
Sure. We had as you and the listeners know, we had a tremendous rain event on early Saturday morning, and something that the project, the Mission Reach project in particular, hadn't really experienced yet before. Although it was designed for a rain event of this size, it was the first time we really got to see how it would handle a rain event of this size. And in general, the project held up. The Mission Reach portion of the project held up pretty well. There were about four or five locations, however, where there was some structural damage, some significant erosion that was undercutting some of the hike and bike trail system. There was a low water crossing that was recently built on the furthest southern part of the project that was actually destroyed, unfortunately. So there's a handful of areas that received some significant damage, but in general, most of the project held up pretty well. The museum reach to the north of downtown, we actually were able to open that up again Saturday evening. So our crews got that cleaned up rather rapidly, and it's been functioning as normal since Saturday night.
Now, on the Mission Reach, which is still kind of under construction, I understand that there was a lot of washout that happened with the flooding.
In a few locations, there were, and we have on our website right now at www.sara-tx.org, we have a map right now that folks can click on from our homepage that shows what portions of the Mission Reach trails are open for use and what portions are still closed. Some of those closed sections are just closed because we're still removing the debris and the silt and the trash that collects after rain events such as this. A few of the other areas are going to remain closed for a bit longer because of that undercutting, like you were talking about. Some of the hike and bike trails were eroded away, and there's some safety issues that we're still evaluating and determining how we're going to repair those areas and how long it's going to take to do so.
Now, the river is primarily for the flowing of the water, the drainage. And some people are concerned that by putting in these trails and that we're somehow maybe possibly impeding it from actually doing its intended job.
Well, the Mission Reach project is still first and foremost a flood control project. It's a Corps of Engineers project, and the Corps of Engineers' primary purpose for that project is flood mitigation, to help move the floodwaters out of our community in a safe way. So as the Mission Reach project was designed, it was always going to maintain the existing floodplain or improve it. There is nothing that was being built in that project that would worsen the floodplain for the surrounding community. That wouldn't be allowed by the Corps of Engineers. So we understand that there is some homes that were unfortunately flooded in the very southern portion of the project down past Loop 410 and the Mission Espada area. Those homes were in the floodplain prior to the creation of the project, and unfortunately they still are in the floodplain. And that area received a record amount of flow through the river. There's a USGS flow gauge there on 410, and the previous record for that gauge was set in 1998, and it was a little over 32 feet of water flowing underneath the 410 bridge there. On Saturday morning, that gauge registered a little over 34 feet, so a new record was set by just about 2 feet. So that was a tremendous amount of water flowing through that area, and as unfortunate as it is for those homes, they are in the floodplain, and with that amount of water, that's unfortunately what is to be expected.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a caller. George has been standing by, and he's going to join the conversation. George, welcome to The Source.
Hey, David, great show. Listen, my concern was I have friends down in that southern area of Mission Espada, and they said that they had never experienced the rapidity at which the water rose and the speed of the water, and they attributed pretty much to all the additional concrete and stonework of the Mission Reach project, and then when it reaches the southern end, it just sort of goes at a very high speed into these neighborhoods, whereas before it was natural absorption and runoff, where now and now we have all the concrete and stone that's funneling it southwards. And so is there a real relationship between those neighborhoods getting flooded out and all of the improvements.
Yeah, I heard that some folks in the neighborhood saw the water rise so quickly that they thought that a dam had burst somewhere.
Yeah, that's what they were all saying. They thought it was a dam or something had opened up because the water rose in 45 minutes, where in previous years they said it was 4 to 5 hours for the water to reach that level.
So let's let Steve.
Anyway, I'll take the answer.
All right, George, thank you for that. So let's let Steve Schauer address that issue. Steve, from the San Antonio River Authority.
Well, again, we do live in Flash Flood Alley, so having a significant amount of rainfall fall in a short period of time, and we're still putting together our post-storm event report that will highlight the amounts of rain that fell, where did that rain fall, and over what period of time did that rain fall. But having rapid walls of water, as was described, is really why this area was named Flash Flood Alley. We have these tremendous rainfall events, and our community experiences that, where there's a significant peak in the rain, and then shortly thereafter that rain dissipates, that wall of water, if you will, dissipates rather rapidly. That's the nature of a flash flood. Again, this area where those homes were flooded received more water than historically recorded. So individuals saying they've never seen it happen like that before, well, they're right. No one had seen it happen like that before because it's a new record that was set on Saturday. So, and then the comments referring to more concrete and the project is really not an accurate reflection of what the Mission Reach project is. As I mentioned earlier, first and foremost, with regards to the Corps of Engineers, it's a flood mitigation project. As the project was designed, flooding was either maintained at the same level or improved. And then secondly, it's an ecosystem restoration project. So we're actually restoring riparian habitat and providing more green space, not more concrete and hardscape, as George had said that was his opinion of. So, you know, really it's an unfortunate situation for those homeowners. But if you go back and look at the floodplain maps for those areas that are FEMA-approved floodplain maps that have been approved since the 2007, 2008, 2009 time period when those floodplain maps were created, those homes have been in the floodplain prior to the project, and they still are in the floodplain.
So let me just emphasize one thing that you said earlier, that those barricades, there are barricades up on the running and biking trails on the river, on the reach for the Mission Reach, right? And that's to be, do not go around those barricades because some of that ground may not be stable, and people could get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, we are asking folks, we appreciate that there's an eagerness in our community to get back out there and recreate along the river, and some may just be curious to see what the aftermath of a flood looks like, but please do not go around those barricades.
All right, I want to get to a caller real quickly. Jesse's been waiting patiently. Jesse, welcome to The Source.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, my input I'm a former Marine canine search and rescue dog handler, and I'm retired, coming out of retirement, you know, working some training on some dogs to get back into it to, you know, help out with the flood victims, et cetera. You know, and going to different parts of the world under, you know, flood emergencies and monsoons and tsunamis and everything else. One of the things that, you know, we should really consider on implementing, you know, here in San Antonio is getting together with these areas that we know that are going to be in trouble and doing some of the things that some of these other countries have done. You know, they assign emergency units within communities. You know, you got a community, they select like about 100 people, and they will assign two or three homes and train them, you know, to get these emergency boats out and be ready.
All right, Jesse, good comments. We appreciate that. That's something for people to think about. Okay, so with the San Antonio River Authority, and you guys are pretty satisfied with that the developments on the museum reach and the mission reach, you had no didn't impact the actual flooding of the neighborhoods, and that the system worked as it should.
That's correct, and we're still again developing our final post-storm event report and our analysis. But the project as it was designed, we believe it functioned as it was designed, and it was designed with, again, flood mitigation as its first and foremost primary objective, ecosystem restoration as its second objective, and recreation as its third objective.
So was there a lot of damage to, like, I know they put in a lot of grass and bushes and trees. Was that wiped out?
In some areas, there was some erosion of the freshly planted riparian habitat, and we'll have to go back in and do some reestablishment of those areas. Many other areas functioned as it was intended to, where the grasses just kind of, you know, laid over and laid down as the water rushed over them, and we imagine in the next few weeks that those grasslands will start to grow upright again. So, but there were certainly about five or six places where erosion was rather significant, and again, we're still evaluating the extent of that damage and how long it'll take to repair it.
All right, Stephen Schauer, thank you so much from the San Antonio River Authority. We did have some technical issues with our phone system, so we lost some calls. But the main takeaway is to obey those barricades. Do not try to try your luck out there. Where it may look good, even on those trails, but the water, the ground could be not stable. This is The Source on KSTX. When we can come back from the break, we're going to talk about poverty in the suburbs. Stay with us.